It's only about 2 weeks back that I met little David, 3 years old. And David is in church. David is sitting and listening to me right now. Unusually friendly and outgoing. And we introduced ourselves, and I met his mom as well, and dad. Went over to the open house last week at school. The parents are checking out the school for David. And David came right up to me, and he said to me, "Are you God?" I was so flabbergasted that, in fact, I did not remember my response. I met with mom 2 days after that, and I asked her, "Well, what was my response?" You know, and she said something like, "I said to David, no, I'm not God, but I bring God to people." So obviously that was my response. Where's David? Put your hand up. Where's David? Right there. Yeah, someday you'll preach from here, dude. You'll be up here someday. Now, on the one hand, it's a very childlike question. On the other hand, David's question took me to the very crux of the theme of today's gospel reading. No, I'm not God, but I am somebody. Twice in today's gospel reading, Jesus says, "You are." You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. To fully grasp the significance of Jesus' statements to his disciples, by the way, this is to his disciples, not just to the crowd, this is to his disciples. We must see where these statements fit within the gospel. Last week, remember, we heard the Beatitudes. And I said that the Beatitudes reveal the character of a disciple. Do you remember this from last week? I said the Beatitudes are not just statements Jesus makes, but they really reveal the character of a disciple. Now, the Beatitudes are the introduction, or what we call the preamble, to the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. So the Sermon on the Mount gives flesh to the Beatitudes and the character of a disciple. And over the next coming weeks, we will hear more from the Sermon on the Mount. Now, between the Sermon on the Mount and the introduction, which is the Beatitudes, right there, Jesus says, "You are the light. You are the salt." So the question before us is, by drawing on the analogy of salt and light, what was the identity? Remember this word today, identity. What was the identity that Jesus was proposing to his disciples? Who was Jesus asking them to be or be like? My own answer to this question is, of course, that Jesus is asking them to be like him. A disciple must have a very clear identity. A disciple must have a very clear vision for life. A disciple must have a clear purpose for living. Their lives must be meaningful. They must have a Christian identity. So here are my 3 points for today. Just a recap of last week. In my last week, in my homily, I said that Jesus on the cross is the Beatitudes lived out to its perfection. I remember saying that by preaching the Beatitudes, Jesus was laying out the character of a disciple. A disciple is supposed to be pure in heart and meek, supposed to be a peacemaker, and be ready to suffer for the kingdom, so forth, so on and so forth. And I also remember preaching that Jesus was raising certain virtues on a flagpole by proposing the Beatitudes. Here is what a disciple should look like. And then I said that Jesus on the cross is the Beatitudes lived to its perfection. The cross, in fact, is the flagpole on which Jesus raises what it means to be a disciple. Today we take one step forward. Just as I said that Jesus is the Beatitudes lived out in its perfection, today I want to say that first of all, Jesus is the salt. Perfect. To its perfection. Jesus is the one who brings meaning and life and joy and everything that we hold true in our faith. Just like salt makes food taste good, the life of Jesus makes our lives meaningful. Jesus is the salt to its perfection. Jesus is that perfect light. Jesus is the light. So when Jesus drew the analogy of salt and light for his disciples, when he says you are the salt and you are the light, Jesus is saying, if you are a disciple, you must be like me. That's where discipleship starts. Somehow a disciple must enter into the depths of the person of Christ. Somehow the disciple must find total union with Christ. Somehow the disciple must have an in-depth understanding of the thoughts of Jesus, of the words of Jesus, of the action of Jesus. Somehow the disciple must be one with Christ. Listen, somehow the disciple must be Christ. You are the salt. You are the light like Jesus. By drawing on the analogy of salt and light, Jesus was also emphasizing the identity of a disciple. Now the word identity, it may seem like a simple word, but actually it's more complicated than that. My identity, who I am. I remember when I first came into this country, people asked me my name. And I said my name was Satish Joseph. Now tell me which one of these names is easier to pronounce, right? And typically, because people know you by last name, they began to call me Father Joseph. Okay. And then it became Father Joe. And I hated it. I'm not ordinary Joe. So I preached a homily about this. The readings were such, and the title of my homily was What's in a Name? And I remember telling people how important it is that people call me Father Satish, even though it's my first name. Why? Somehow, Father Joe took away from me my Indianness, my identity, my ethnicity, where I come from and who I am, my name. That's my identity. And Jesus says, you are the salt, and you are the light. Jesus is giving his disciples an identity. When David asked me if I was God, he was asking me to tell him who I was. He wants to know who I am. Surely, I'm not God, but he's challenging me to be like God. I must be salt. I must be light. It captures, this salt and light must capture who I am. I must be Christ for the world. That is the identity of a disciple of Christ. And if we are not, then Jesus says two possibilities. You're not a disciple. But if we are a disciple, then our identity is very clear. Third point. How can we be salt for the earth and how can we be light? And second question, why should we be salt and why should we be light? Today's first reading has the answer to the first question, how can we be salt? Listen to this, listen to what Isaiah says. He says, thus says the Lord, share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless, clothe the naked when you see them, and do not turn your back on your own. Then your light shall break forth. Light, 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 light. Then your light shall break forth. And again he continues, if you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, if you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then light shall rise for you. Then light shall rise. Again, light. So plain and simple, huh? How can we be light? Here it is. Second question, why should we be light? The gospel reading has the answer to this question. Jesus says, just so your light must shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. So I don't become light so that people say, oh, what a good guy this guy is. You know, I don't tell David, yeah, well, I try to be God. No. That you people may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That is the reason of our life that God gave us. Everything we have is a gift from God. If I am anything and anybody, hopefully I'm a disciple and my life gives glory to God. Is there anything more meaningful and purposeful than that? That is our identity. That is our vision. That is the meaning and purpose of our lives. And by the way, we don't do this alone. Not alone. It's not that, you know, I become a disciple and I say, oh God, I'm a good guy, everyone else. No. Together, as a community, as an individual and as a community, that is why we say Immaculate Conception Church is a community of disciples. Each one of us strives to be a disciple and then we come together and we are a light together. Together. That is our identity. We think, we talk, we act like Christ and bring light and salt to the earth. So, how fabulous we are at this, that we are at this Eucharist. Perfect place to be for a community of disciples. Why? Because here we can enter into the very depths of Christ's life. Here, Christ becomes one with us and we become one with Christ. Here, Christ invites us and we invite Christ. Here we take on the identity of Christ. Christ and we become one. When each one of us goes out from here today, it's a disciple that goes out. When everyone goes out from here today, it's Christ that goes out. Let's pray for that grace, that both as individuals and as a community, we truly may become light and salt for the earth. The people of God said, the catechumens, please come forward. So do you feel the heat? Last week, this week, Christ is challenging you even more deeply. As you reflect more deeply on God's word, we look forward to the day that one day you will stay with us, remain with us, and become one with Christ in the Eucharist. May the wood be a lamp for your feet. and a path to guide your path. May the Lord be a lamp for your path and a guide to guide our path. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he was born of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in fulfillment of the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken to the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Let us now pray that the light of God may dawn upon all God's people.
That we may be salt of the earth, bringing the compassion and peace of God to our homes and communities. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That our church may be a light for the world, reflecting in our worship and ministries the love and forgiveness of God. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the countries and